You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. Beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
One of my new favorites at Christmas, Mr. James Taylor. Nothing smoother than his voice. And nothing classier than this CD, James Taylor at Christmas. Man, it's a good, it is a good play, people. Well, what a show we have had. John Schneider, Gavin McLeod, and one of our favorites from this past year, a guy many of you have come to know and love, the one and only John Ratzenberger. Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas to you, Drew.
Where are you at these days? Right now, you are...
Right now, I'm in my office just about 40 miles north of Los Angeles.
No fires near there, were there?
Well, we got some ash dumped on us, but that's as close as it got.
That was tough, wasn't it? That was scary going for everyone down there.
Yeah, it sure was. It's cyclical. You know, they have the fires, and then now the wet season comes. And
the floods, and the,
worried about the
mudslides and everything, yeah. It's a strange place to live.
Yeah, it is, and the earthquakes come without warning. I much prefer, a hurricane where you know it's coming.
My goodness. Unbelievable.
Eventually, I might relocate to hurricane country and get out of earthquake country.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with Gary Berghoff last week, and he said, he'd had enough. He just got out of there. There was just too many crazy things going on. So he's over in Florida now.
Oh, yeah, which part?
Up near Ocala area. It's on the... I can't say exactly because he doesn't like it to be public, but it's on the Gulf side, kind of a fair chunk up.
Because I'm looking for a boat slip, because I'm going to take my boat down to Florida. I got it up in Rhode Island.
But, nice.
I'm a man of the sea, as they say.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've been lying in Florida thinking, gee, it must be good. There's so many people down there. My mother's still down there. She'll be 92 in February.
Come on, 92.
Yeah, she's still driving. She went for a driving test and passed the eye test, and the guy said, all right, well, now we're going to give you a hearing test. And so she looked at him and said, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, no. Yep, done. Thank you very much.
Yeah, guys, okay, here you go. Here's your license. See you later. See you in 7 years, lady.
7 years, oh, my goodness. I had a great uncle who accidentally hammered the accelerator, reversed out of the driveway of the back of his shop, and went right through the front doors of the local library. Got out of the car, walked a block down the street to the driver's license office, took out his driver's license and said, here, lady, I'm done.
Did he turn in his library card, too?
I think he did. Yeah, he did.
Big trip.
Man. Well, Christmas is a special time of year, and that's one of the reasons we've got you back on the show. What was Christmas like for you growing up as a kid, John?
Oh, well, it was winters. I grew up in New England, and I remember... with the mystery of Santa, look at all the cookies you're eating and all that stuff. And then you unwrap the presents, go to church, just go outside and play and break all the presents you got that day. I went to England in 1971, and I was with a sweetheart over there whose family lived on the outside of London, on the countryside. And it was one of the most remarkable Christmases I had ever had, in that Christmas morning, everybody got up and gathered around, and the eldest of the family, which was her father, would hand the present to one of the youngest. And everybody would wait until that person opened the present. And everybody would ooh and ah and this and that, and then another present would be exchanged in the same way. And Christmas lasted most of the day. After a couple hours, everybody got ready for church, came back from church, had a little bit of a lunch, and then in the afternoon, it was all the adults. One present would be handed out. So I started that with my kids growing up and continue to this day, because everybody can appreciate what each other is getting, and not just wrap it up or unwrap it and rip it out of the box and look at it and throw it down and go to the next box.
Yeah.
Everybody took a breather. I really like that.
That's important. Yeah, we don't start any of the presents until we've done a couple things. We start off with Bing Crosby singing White Christmas as people enter into the room. This is all choreographed, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And then we have freshly squeezed orange juice that my mom, she kind of had that tradition going. And then we open up God's Word and, of course, read the stuff that has to do with the day. And then we crack into the presents.
That's the way.
Torturous for the kiddies, but now they're used to it. Not
yeah,
a word.
Yeah, they'll be doing the same thing with their children.
I hope so. I hope so. James, John, Nina, Catherine, how are the kids doing these days?
Real good, thank you. Matter of fact, James and I were on our mountain bikes yesterday, tooling around, and Nina, I was actually working in North Carolina, doing this. I'm on a series of speeches funded by the Steelworkers Union to warn against the encroaching tsunami, industrial tsunami heading our way. But that being said, I was in North Carolina. She was coming. She goes to school in New England, so we met in New York and had a wonderful father-daughter weekend.
Nice.
And went to see the Rockettes. Have you ever seen a Rockettes?
Oh, well, you know, last year in Toronto, I saw the Rockettes Christmas, or the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, and
yeah.
My goodness. Was that what you saw, the Christmas thing, or was it
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe that it was possible to get so many people in a straight line kicking precisely. I mean, if they were a tenth, if one person was a tenth out of beat or out of rhythm, it would be glaring.
Yeah.
But they're so precise, and they do like 1,500 kicks a day.
Wow.
In New York, they do five shows, about 300 kicks per show.
You know, I used to be a punter, and I only kick 300 a day, so that goes to show you how good these guys are. I like the tin or the toy soldier thing that they do when they all fall on top of each other and like dominoes.
Yeah, the whole line just falls.
It's a great production. It really is.
Yep, it truly is. And I know a lot of people look at it as kitsch or or corny, but
no,
it's like watching the Blue Angels. It's like precision flying.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
I'm glad to hear your kids are doing well. Here's a little quote. After all, at the end of the day, when you're breathing your last, it's not your producer, director, or castmates by your bedside. It's your children. Keep that in mind. Wonder who said that.
It sounds vaguely familiar. it's a reminder. There's no luggage racks on a hearse.
No.
And, I'm actually hesitant to bring it up, but there's a point to it. A good friend of mine passed away yesterday, and his name is Ken Hendricks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And if you Google it up, you'll see who this guy was. He was 11th grade education, started a roofing company, and built it into, he was worth $3.5 billion.
Oh.
And, but the works that he did in Beloit, Wisconsin, remarkable. He turned the whole town around using his own money, rebuilt the town, and we met because we're on the same mission of getting kids back to manual skills, it's because not everybody wants or needs to go to college, and we've forgotten about the kids that want to be mechanics or bricklayers, and I know I talked about this, before when we were talking, and but Ken and I were, that's how we became friends, because we're on the same mission, and now he's gone. It was an accident, just a freak accident. But it's hopefully, if anything, that his passing will bring to the fore, because it's being reported in newspapers around the country. But the importance of the mission that this guy was on, of saying, folks, we're in big trouble if we don't get our kids back into the sandbox and using hammers and understanding the beauty and the wisdom of building things with your own hands.
A fortuitous comment about all this is this really is your hobby horse, and I'm glad that you are incessantly rattling on about this, because it is more important than even you make it sound.
It truly is. It is, because we really are facing an industrial tsunami. And in Canada and America, there's no difference. So it's really important to get the kids away from the video games, away from the television set. Hmm. And people say, well, you make your living in television. How could you keep your kids away from the television set? And I think I might have mentioned this before, but I said, if I worked at a toaster factory, I don't want my kids making toast for 8 hours a day.
Well said.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool. It's an appliance.
Yeah.
You got to remember that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're certainly going to miss Ken, but he was a real champion. And if you, you know, Google him up in Beloit, Wisconsin, and see what he did to that town. And he was about to start the same thing with Rockford, Illinois, to start turn that town around. Because he's like, you know, one of those visionaries, and he'll see, you know, a dilapidated hovel. Everybody else will see it as that, and he'll see it as a palace, you know, and like a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And he did remarkable things, just remarkable things in this little town.
On the phone with John Ratzenberger, of course, shooting season number 5, I think, of
yeah.
Made in America.
Yep, next stop, Seattle.
Wow.
That'd be January 3rd. We're going to be up there, and then skip a week or two. Then we're in San Francisco. That's it for the 5th season.
Tell us about the town hall meetings that's going on these days.
Well, I got approached by the Alliance for American Manufacturing to do the town hall meetings where the presidential candidates down here in America, the lower 48, have been doing their town hall meetings. So the big vote states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And my purpose is to get this subject that we were just talking about, the fact that kids don't have any skills, and the fact that China is unfairly trading and basically destroying our culture. Because once a factory goes out of town, well, all your property taxes go up, and it really destroys the community. And I see that happening all over the country, because I travel all over the country, and I'm one of the few people that can connect the dots. So I've been doing these talks in the same towns as the presidential candidates to get the people to get the presidential candidates to ask these questions and start talking about it. Because if they talk about the economy, well, that's based on manufacturing. If they talk about the environment, say, well, wait a second, there is no environmental rains on China, but all their sulfur deposits are falling in the Great Lakes. So why don't we hold their feet to the fire, you know, environmentally? I mean, it's the same earth. They're destroying the same ozone, the same water, the same air. But why is it that we're the only ones being punished if we want to set up a company and you let China get away with it? Why? Because you get a T-shirt for $3 cheaper. And national defense, even. When they talk about national defense, say, wait a second. If you're talking about national defense, why is it that China might get the contract to build a circuit board that goes in our sonar detection devices that are out there to detect enemy submarines? And China might be the one putting that circuit board together.
Hmm.
And it's just remarkable things. It's like apple juice that we drink down here. It's not, it doesn't come from this continent. It's Chinese. And they can use any pesticide they want. There's no.
They don't have the regulatory body that we do.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing. But yet it's so cheap because of their slave labor. You know, they can grow it, pick it, ship it, distribute it cheaper than we can right here in the States.
You know, the other night, my wife and I watched Amazing Grace, the William Wilberforce movie.
Oh, nice one, yeah.
Tremendous film. And, I mean, the reality is, John, we're still living off the backs of slaves today.
Correct, correct. And everybody who says they're against slavery, they're wearing clothes coming from China. Every time you buy something from China, you're not only contributing to slavery, but you're contributing to the destruction of, well, the planet.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what's going to happen when the Olympics take place over there. I bet you there's going to be some athletes that are going to get out of that plane and say, there's no way. There's no way I'm sucking in this air. Because, I mean, you go out in the street.
It's filthy.
Cities in China with a white shirt, by the time you come back in, that's gray.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Not good. The thing I really love is when you mention to me the Nuts and Bolts and Thingamajigs Foundation. I just think that, first of all, it's a brilliant name.
Thank you.
But the concept, again, can you just lay that on our people one more time?
Well, it's just the concept we were just talking about. That's actually how I met Ken Hendricks through the foundation, and he had read my book. And but it's to encourage kids to get back outside, to start making things, make something with your hands. So we, along with the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association out of Rockford, Illinois, funded 20 camps nationwide this past summer.
Wow.
Basically just to get kids to fabricate, to just supply them with the raw materials and some guidance and show them the joys of, wow, look, I made something out of basically nothing. Because you know, the brain does exercise that way. That's the way you build a person's self-esteem. It's not by telling the kid that, you know, you're wonderful. It's by letting the kid do something wonderful. I know CEOs that have things in their offices that they built in the eighth grade wood shop. And the reason that I started the foundation was because there are no more shop courses nationwide. There's no more wood shops, metal shops, and home ec, too, that used to teach people how to care for babies and cook and all about nutrition and balance a checkbook. Doesn't exist anymore. Because we get, well, it's my generation, the Woodstock generation, got this kumbaya idea that, you know, it's better to, you know, feel good about yourself as the center of the universe than actually have knowledge and accomplishment. So we're reaping that.
Yeah, lots of self-esteem, but no wisdom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talked to a CEO of a company who said he hired a guy, and after 2 days had to fire him, 23-year-old kid. And on the third day, the kid came back with his mother. Because I said, why did you fire him? He says, well, he couldn't work with anyone else because it was either his way or the highway, because he'd been told all his life he's wonderful. He didn't have to, you know, listen to anybody else. And so the guy comes back with his mother after being fired, and the mother tells the CEO of his big company that he has to apologize to her son because he hurt his self-esteem.
Are you kidding me?
I hear variations of that story all over the country. If you talk to any human resources person now,
unbelievable.
That's what's happening. They show up, no skills, no work ethic, yeah. But they want the corner office and 80 grand a year.
Give me a break. Give me a break. A bunch of Nancy Boy, Princess Cinderella, you know, sucky pants out there, right?
Well, that's we inherited it from the Woodstock generation. Because
yeah, thanks for that, by the way. John.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
that'll be my next book. I'm sorry I ruined the world. But
you and the tractor.
Yeah, bouncing around. that's what we were left with, yeah.
Let's chat about Christmas just a little bit before we let you go.
Sure.
Growing up as a kid, Christmas was fairly normal. We talked a bit about that earlier. Did you have real or fake trees?
Oh, always real.
Always real.
Yeah, then when my kids were growing up, we actually went out to cut our own down. We lived up in the Pacific Northwest, and that was a treat. If you haven't experienced it, then do that at least once when the kids are young, you know, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. Go out and cut down your own trees.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that every year. And matter of fact, the tradition in our family is that I take so stinking long. I'm like, you know, the kids and my wife, they find a great tree, and I'm like, well, there might be another better one just around the corner, you know? So we put a big chunk of snow in that tree and then keep walking. We have a snowball fight and, you know, have a good time and try to avoid the yellow snow. And then we eventually come back, because people let their dogs run around there. I wanted to clarify that.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
No one's spelling their name.
No, it's too cold. You know, it's initials is what we do up here. So this is what happened this year. We got out of the car. This is the last Christmas with our son. My son's gone to Australia, by the way, to be a carpenter. Thank you very much.
Good for him.
Thank you. Yep.
Good
and
for you.
So he's working with his hands, wants to be a chippy. Anyway, he came out, got out of the car. I said, son, you can pick the tree this year. He got out of the car, pointed at one tree, said, that's it. It was the best tree we've ever had.
Nice.
No mucking about. It was, anyway, so that's my
point. So you didn't even have to have the hot chocolate.
No. Nope.
In and out.
Nope, in and out. It was. Now, listen, best childhood Christmas present.
Oh, it was a pirate ship.
Wow.
That actually fired little cannonballs.
No.
Yeah, you pulled it. It's a little spring action. You pulled the end of the cannon. And
that'd be banned today.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Sure. I just sent a friend who's got 4 kids, I sent him a box of slingshots and BBs. I just want to hear what the expression on his wife's face was when they opened it. Because it's so politically incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mailed a friend of mine when I was living in California as a young youngster. I mailed a friend of mine back in Canada. I mailed him a Black Widow spider for Christmas.
Yeah,
that didn't go over too well with his mom, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, they can't take a joke.
No, exactly, that's my thoughts. Was there ever a Christmas present you didn't get that you begged and pleaded for?
No, I never really begged and pleaded for anything because I was very aware that early age that we weren't the richest folks on the block.
No.
So whatever we got was great.
Yeah.
And then the my Hungarian grandmother cooked these apricot squares that were just legendary. And that was a big part of Christmas.
Yeah. Any Christmas memories from the days of Cheers?
Well, let's see. I just only with my own family. Christmas on the set was we would break long before that. Yeah, there'd be a little gift sharing. But no, I really can't conjure up anything.
No.
Because everyone was family centric. There weren't really any Christmas parties at Cheers.
I wonder how Cliff Clavin would have celebrated Christmas. I'm trying to remember if there's any episodes that I can come to the frontal lobe. I can't think of it. For some reason, I have this image of something similar to what maybe Mr. Bean went through at Christmas. But
what did Mr. Bean do at Christmas?
Well, he was by himself. He sent himself a Christmas card.
Oh,
fair bit of loneliness going on. But I don't know. Was Cliffy surrounded by friends at Christmas? Or
well, Cliff was a character. Actually, when I created him, I always kept this in mind that even though he could be annoying, he's the person that would show up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Loyal.
Yeah. And
but that wasn't often reciprocated, though, was it?
No, but then it isn't in real life either.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So it's that's always keep in mind with him. He'd probably be delivering packages last minute, or volunteering at the soup kitchen.
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, who? Let me ask you. Who do you miss most this time of year?
Oh boy, a lot of people. I miss the my kids being young, because now they have their own lives. And, which is great, they're spreading their own wings. But I really enjoyed those moments of, one Christmas, taking a pair of my shoes and rubbing them in the fireplace ash and then tracking the shoes across the carpet to the tree. So when they came down in the morning, not only were the cookies eaten, but wait a second.
There was a trail.
There's a trail coming out of the fireplace. So I always had fun doing that when they were kids.
That's great. I love that.
And but now they're too old. They're too smart. I can't do that anymore.
I think you should do it anyway.
All right. I'm going to give it a shot.
I think you should. That would just be classic to see their reaction. See if they played along with it.
Yeah.
What's God been teaching lately, just before we let you go?
Oh, it's from the beginning of the conversation that there's no luggage racks on a hearse.
Yeah.
And just savor every moment. It's important. It's just to savor everything, that smell of the fresh air and, the handshake of a friend and the hug of your children. I think that's what this Christmas lesson is going to be.
Yeah. I have said to so many people this year, simplify Christmas.
Yeah. What a great idea. Well, yeah, the first Christmas was fairly simple.
Pretty basic. Pretty basic. How can our listeners pray for you, John, just before we say goodbye?
Oh, what a sweet thought. I'd ask everybody pray for Ken Hendricks. And he's just a remarkable man. And when you go to Google his name, you'll see. He'll be sorely missed. And I ask that folks at home pray for Ken Hendricks.
And his family, of course.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. His family. Thank you. Yeah.
Tough loss there.
His wife, Diane, she's the one who built the company right by his side.
Wow.
And I don't know how she's going to be getting through all this. But, her prayers, keep her in your prayers. She's a remarkable lady.
John Ratzenberger, your soft heart comes through whether you try to hide it or not. I appreciate how you're wired.
Yeah. Thanks, I didn't have to take those karate lessons, huh? Because everybody knows I'm a big softy anyway.
That's it. Merry Christmas, John.
To you and to you.
Been a pleasure once again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Classic stuff. John Ratzenberger on the Drew Marshall Show. So good, huh? So good. Well, let's get some children sponsored with compassion. Can we do that? 905-338-1250. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I would love for the phone lines to already be filled, 905-338-1250, with people saying, you know what? Let's do it. Let's sponsor a child with compassion this year. I'm willing to do it. I want to phone Drew. That's his Christmas present. Merry Christmas, Drew Marshall. We're going to sponsor a child with compassion. 905-338-1250. I'm flat out going to bribe you this year. I got tickets to give away to anybody who wants to sign up for Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Or sorry, to sponsor a child. We'll give you the tickets to Irving Berlin's White Christmas down in Toronto. And the Canadian premiere of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Whistle Down the Wind. We'll be right back, folks. Give us a call,
905-338-1250. Want to find out who's on the Drew Marshall Show next week? Sign up for our weekly email updates online at drewmarshall.ca.